Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. The reason that I like the words, or the word, it's actually, I don't know what it is, but anyway, self-realization, the word, because it, I keep it really simple. Realizing self, see, there's only one self here. It's the awareness. There's presence here, that from which we see, that to which everything comes and goes. There's only that. But see, I don't see that as spiritual. I see that as like, that's what every kid on a conscious, in a conscious world, if all the beings were conscious and every child discovered and was taught their own awareness, what they really, really are, early in life, there's no specialness to that, and it's not spiritual. It's just, this is, realize the self, what you really are. But in an unconscious world, it seems maybe like it's a special thing, or that's an unattainable thing or out of reach, because we are unconscious, we've buried emotions. So you would think, like, it sounds so simple, though, like, recognize what you are, self-realization, realize that there's an awareness here, prior to everything, everything comes and goes to that, now just engage in practice and investigation to recognize that in your direct experience, and then a bunch of pointers like that, and people immerse themselves in that kind of looking, and then recognize experientially that there's this awareness here, and that's what they are. It's an actual realization. And people poo-poo it or dismiss it because, you know, they haven't realized it, or they're frustrated with teachings that talk about it, or they don't think there's a reason to use such words. It could be simplified, for example. But when you're unconscious, virtually none of the words, you can't directly experience what they're pointing to when you're really unconscious. When you're really conscious, it doesn't matter what you say. It kind of points to that which we are. Because what we're really pointing to is that which we are, our authentic self, if you want, but it's not a separate self. If we lived in a conscious world and we grew up as children in that world, we would discover that this very awareness that is the basis of what we are has this non-dual quality. We would experience it directly as that I'm none other than the flower, the tree. This to me would be a part of development, not a special state that people seek after in a conscious world. This is just what you discover as a young child. Just go with my scenario, even if there are holes in it. Whatever you may find there. But I like to play with that scenario to come back to where we are as adults on earth in an unconscious world, interested in self-realization. But we can't just like turn towards the parents here or the teacher in this case and say, show me how to realize self. The teacher could point to that which is already awake, but even the student here or you have to directly experience that and take the pointers in and look and rest throughout the day and notice that this is what you are. The presence is always here. And that what arises and falls to that. You verify it for yourself. That's what you would do just like the children would do that. But the difference here is, see, the way I see that scenario of the children in the conscious world, when they start out, they don't start out, at least in my hypothetical, with buried emotions. They were born not too long ago. They've discovered what they are, and they learn from their parents to allow all the emotions and thoughts that come so that they don't bury emotions and they don't have trauma. That's what makes it a conscious world. But here, we don't start out with a clean slate like that. We come here with emotions that we buried because we didn't have conscious parents on this planet. We had unconscious parents. It wasn't safe to feel everything. we had to hold some emotions back, and we don't even know we did it. We did that to stay safe, and then we developed into what we call the ego and the separate self with its deficiency or lack or all of that suffering that comes with believing or living as something that you're not, because you live in an unconscious world. We're here to go back in a way and recognize what we missed. Self-realization, which would be the same self-realization that a child on a conscious planet would be recognizing in the early years of their life in my hypothetical. And they would be discovering how to feel and allow it all. But guess what? We can't do that. As we discover this awareness that's at the foundation of life, the same awareness that those kids discover, we've got a different issue on our hands. We have these buried emotions, and they don't arise to awareness. Now hear that for a second. We're here on an unconscious world. We have buried emotions. They don't arise to awareness. We can't just sit and allow those buried emotions to come and go, because they're buried. And as science says, that emotional repression, buried emotions, produces a lot of our suffering. So this repression, these emotions which do not arise to our awareness here, are producing the suffering that does arise to our awareness. Here's the kicker. The stuff that does arise to awareness is safer than what we've buried. That's why our system keeps producing it. We're producing our own suffering. Unconsciously, of course. That's relevant to self-realization. And that's a problem, if you will, that we have, that those kids in my hypothetical don't have, because they don't start out life with buried emotions and with ego identity created by those buried emotions, or with suffering created by those buried emotions. We do, though. So those kids, they can sit and watch these new feelings arise that they've never felt before, because they're just young kids, and they learn to just feel and allow it fully and all the thoughts with it, and they remain awake no matter what arises. Or this new sensation that comes up, they're taught to let that be, and they don't bury these things. They don't resist these things, and so they remain conscious, and they develop into embodied conscious beings. We can't do that way. If we were just to recognize the presence and then just begin allowing things, we would be allowing the things that are safer than what we've buried. We wouldn't be having the same experience as those kids. We're not just discovering things for the first time. We've already buried emotions a long time ago, and we're actually just seeing the same suffering come over and over again, produced by those same buried emotions. That's our experience. Or that's mine. Isn't yours something like that? I mean, you may not know about the buried emotions part because they're buried, but are you suffering? So we have a different problem on our hands when it comes to self-realization than those kids or anyone on that planet. This is why I like the alien stories, is because of what they can teach us about ourselves. It makes us look at ourselves, because if you just think about beings on a different planet, once you recognize the basic awareness that what you are, you'll know that beings everywhere are this same awareness. It's just known, because it's foundational to life itself, and you experience it that way, that you are life itself. And that you're not limited to this body or limited in any way, ultimately. And that's what the self is. And I think that that's what those kids would realize on a conscious planet, because that's what would make it a conscious planet, is everyone would have that non-dual seeing, and they wouldn't be suffering. And they would know, each child would know that he is the universe. She is the universe. And so is everything and everybody else. It's no separation. And I think that that species would live in non-dual realization. I mean, it makes sense because the suffering comes from separation. They would have evolved to that. And even though it looks like we want to evolve to that, we have these problems on our hands that are different. So the new path, or a new path to self-realization, I think has to take into consideration that we don't start with a clean slate. We can't just go from a world of suffering with a 9-to-5 job and a relationship that's not working and depression and then just start resting as awareness, expecting everything that's creating suffering to just come up and resolve itself. A lot will come up, and if we allow it, it will resolve itself. But of the things that come up, essentially, those things are safer than what's buried, as I said. And the buried stuff doesn't come up. In the next segment, I want to talk about how we approach self-realization with this unique set of circumstances that we've always had here on Earth. You know, I'm not presenting anything new. I'm just presenting this scenario to help us maybe understand what we're doing here on this path. This path is called Natural Recovery from Suffering, just like the name of the podcast. And the tools are called, the inquiries themselves are called KI, the Killaby inquiries. At the end of this podcast, I'm going to give you some instructions to take our new free shorter test that reveals whether you have emotional repression and how it's producing suffering. But stay tuned for the next segment. So if we all start here on this planet in unconsciousness, that includes buried emotions, emotional repression, and then here on this planet, we have the science to show that that is the root of a lot of suffering. Those are important facts, if we know those facts to be true. And when you take the test, you'll discover for yourself in direct evidence, direct experience, whether this is true for you. But if you'll just keep listening, I want to just show you how the path unfolds from here. So if we start with buried emotions, and we're talking about being or becoming conscious, awake, we must do what those kids do, which is to recognize this basic awakeness, awareness. So in this path, we are like a lot of other non-dual paths or awakening paths where we want to make important or make a priority the recognition of this basic awareness that each of us is. And that includes practice or investigation. I've written 7 books on just that part of the path. There's plenty out there from me, including videos. I'm going to bring that style of looking more into the teaching this year to help people again, recognize this basic awareness. But I want to do it in a way that doesn't obviously bypass the buried emotions. And a lot of other teachings might come here, when you first come to them, they might say to you, you just need to recognize this awareness and that's it. And once you recognize it, you're kind of done, you're awake. They may not say it that directly, but you can leave with the implication or come to these teachings with the implication that that's what happens. But it's more like those kids on that planet in the following way, is that it's a process. And so if those kids were to turn around to their conscious parents and say, when does this path end, mom and dad? Well, they would say, well, it's not a path. You're a conscious being. You're conscious. You can see that, you know that now. You allow everything within your experience and you live your life. You're present in your life. You explore, you relate, you live, you create. So as we come back to our path, we now know that there's no end to this, that we're just, again, waking up and living, embodying that which we are. That's what we're doing, just like those kids. So any ideas that we have about like an end are probably coming because we don't want to feel something. And if we understand that, when that comes up, we can inquire into that and stay true to why we're really here, which is to recognize the presence and what we are and to continue to process these buried emotions. But it goes deeper than that because we really do want to understand what we're doing. Where it's unlike those kids, though, is that we can't just recognize the awareness and then just allow everything because we have buried emotions. So as we recognize this presence, we want to work with these buried emotions at the same time. If we don't, then we're only allowing, again, what is safer, what our system produces as safer than what we've buried. And our system produces, for example, chronic pain, disease, suffering, emotional suffering, stories, shadows, depression, anxiety. That's all safer than what we've buried. That's why science is saying that emotional repression creates these things or produces a lot of these things. There's a reason for it. It's survival. We're staying safe from what's buried, or at least we think it's survival at the unconscious level. It's really suffering, obviously. But until we understand that we're creating the suffering and why we're creating it, which is to stay safe, get love, survive. This is why we're bearing emotions. We're afraid of getting hurt. We're holding certain emotions back. We can't be ourselves because of that. Think about that. We've never been able to be ourselves from the time we were kids. There's certain emotions that we have never been able to feel and express. Right now, those emotions are missing in our experience. They're buried. And so we also experience this sense of lack or deficiency that comes from emotional repression. And it just means that we're deficient or lacking in those emotions that we've buried. But because this is all unconscious and these emotions are buried, we confuse this sense of lack or deficiency with like an identity. I'm not good enough. I'm a victim. I'm unlovable. And ultimately that keeps us safe from what's buried. But it also serves as our false self, if you will, because we can't be ourselves. That's why we're suffering. We can't feel and express what we've buried. What we really are would include what we've buried. It was a part of us. It's a part of us that just didn't feel safe, and we buried it. In order to live and embody what we are, we can't keep that buried. It's producing suffering that we're seeing in awareness in our everyday lives. So to simplify this segment, I'm simply saying, in the first segment, I say we start in unconsciousness. So in this segment, I'm simply saying that as we recognize this awareness that so many of these teachings and traditions have done for so long, wisely, we also want to deal with what's buried from the beginning on this path for the very reasons that I've said. And now stay tuned for the next phase or unfolding of this, well, a new path to self-realization. And one of the next thing we see, or how you could say it, is that we see that all forms of suffering point us back to the repression that produces it, or back to the root. This is so important because, again, tracking the science, which says that a lot of our suffering comes from trauma, more specifically, repression and suppression of emotion, actually turns into disease sometimes, many times. It creates a premature death rate, actually. That's how big this is. Well, we start with that unconsciousness, just like the segments say here on the podcast. The segments lay out the path. First segment, we start in unconsciousness. Second segment, we recognize or we wake up to this presence that we are, but we also process buried emotions from the beginning. And then this segment, which is like our third phase of this, is we see that all forms of suffering point back to the root of suffering. And this is the practice. Understanding that science says this about the root of suffering, and we find this in our bodies. This is something that we do early in the path. In fact, I'm going to send you to this free test, as I said, so that you can get started on that early in the path. You discover not only that you have these emotions buried, but how they produce suffering. And then you're going to look at the suffering in your life and see that in many, many cases, the suffering is coming from that, what we call the primary repression, which is a set of emotions and traits that you've buried and that produce suffering and false identity. One way to remember it is, if we have to hold back what's true for us, we're forced to identify with what's false, because that keeps us safe, gets us love and approval. To hold back emotions, it's a simple way of understanding like this. In real life, if I hold back anger, that's what's true for me. When I was a kid, I got angry, but I couldn't. I had anger, but I had to hold it back. That was what was true for me, but I could not share it or express it. So I was forced to identify with all sorts of suffering, addiction, depression, identity, eventually cancer, chronic pain, forced to identify with what is false and suffer until, of course, I recognize that my suffering is coming from this repression. Then I engage in a practice just like you will or you are, which gets to the root of it. We spend some time in this because what we say is like inside out. In other words, we're discovering what we're holding in our bodies, and we're finding that the programming in our bodies that holds that back correlates with actual suffering on the outside, like in our lives. So if I hold sadness back in my body and I find that programming that says it's not safe, it's buried programming, it's not safe to express sadness or cry, then in my relationships, I probably don't cry. That's one way of interpreting what we mean by inside out. Our mentorship program is called Inside Out, because it really shows us that what we're holding in our bodies produces the suffering in our visible lives. That's what I mean by on the outside, the visible. The inside means the unconscious in that sense. And so you go about your life and it looks like this. With buried anger, that's the inside. It's buried. The programming is buried. The emotion is buried. It's appearing like a body. Trauma is held in the body in that way. But then and that's what's happening in the body, and that's discoverable. If I have anger repression, I can go in with inquiry and discover the actual programming that holds that emotion back out of fear. And then in my life, I would look and see, oh, I can't say no. I can't set a boundary or stick to it. All right, people please. And then all of these are signs of anger repression. And all these things are involved in suffering. And so many other things that come with anger repression. You start connecting all the dots that, oh my God, my suffering is connected to repression, just like science says, just like Scott said. But you discover it. That's the important piece, is that you discover this. Because as long as you rely on me or you don't discover it for yourself, your mind is very likely going to try to take you out of this path. And so that's the next part of the next segment is a big part of this path to deal with from the beginning is our resistance. Stay tuned. Well, if you've heard everything so far, you know we're dealing with the root of suffering, which means we're actually doing inquiry on resistance itself, the very root of your resistance. There's no greater resistance in our experience than the fear of feeling and expressing what would be natural emotions. And so we've been holding this back all our lives. Really powerful programming buried in our bodies, creating all this suffering. And then we discover it here. We start to make it conscious, which is what we want. We want to make the unconscious conscious. This is what we want. But the system then fights back and gives a number of reasons to stop. Why? If you understand what we're doing, we're working with repression. Why do we hold back emotions? To stay safe and get love. If we start to do work on the repression, the system says, no, this isn't safe. And also, I can't get love, right? But the safety programming kicks in. And it looks like, man, I don't really have time for this work today, or just have too many things going on. Or I just can't do it. I can't do it on my own. Or I don't agree with Scott. I don't like him, really. Which may be true, and you're not required to like me, but I just want you to see how many things can come up here. I'm just not good enough to do this. This is too complicated. I tried it, but you know, something about the members area, so I just wanted to get out of there. And all of these are actually valid. Everybody has a right to their own experience, of course. But if you start to understand how repression works, that's exactly what our systems have always been doing, is suffering and then sabotaging when we get close to ending the suffering, which is what we're doing here. We're ending the suffering once we're skillful. We start to dabble into that. The system is very cleverly shutting us down in a number of ways. And that's our unconsciousness when we actually don't realize that it's the repression doing that. Even though we learn in the beginning, repression is the root of my suffering. I'm actually seeing it in my experience. And then it's like, oh, I stopped doing the work because I got stuck. But that has nothing to do with repression. You know, like, that's what I did. Everybody does this. When I started working with my chronic pain, which healed through this work, but at first I would stop because I was hitting, like, fear of anger. I don't want to go there. And then I would stop and I'd say, well, I think my pain is physical. That's what the doctors say anyway. So I'm just going to stop for a little bit. I mean, why even go back? It's physical. Why do the work here? And then that, what? It just kept me safe. It wasn't true. The pain went away by making the anger, buried anger conscious. But my mind came in, see? Just like yours will. But if you become skillful and you have the right context, and the context is the understanding that I'm sharing with you here. This is the teaching. This is the work that you are working directly with the root of resistance, the repression, the root of suffering here. So if you don't experience resistance or want to quit from time to time, you're not even doing it, right? Because resistance here is as natural as the air is when you're breathing each day. And that's why there's such freedom here, because we're working with resistance. So it's all natural. You just have to increase your skill level, get the support that you need when you get stuck or you need help. We all need that from time to time. You know, go to the members area or join a mentorship program and work with someone. But this work, we do this on our own. So we want to teach you how to do it on your own. And that's where it goes in the end, trusting yourself, allowing everything, including eventually what you had buried, and then living as your authentic self, and the kind of freedom that, oh, I'm going to get to that later, but yeah. I want to talk about the work first before we get there. And this is a big part of it, is our resistance. The best thing I can tell you about that, and you'll hear about this later, is we look for two markers when we do this work. And I think if you hear this as part of the context of the work, you will want to define those two markers when you're doing this repression work. And that is, the first marker is that when you do this inquiry on the emotional repression, and anytime you do it, you should feel more sense of presence, not less, not, you shouldn't feel more anxious. So it's like your nervous system feels regulated, or you feel more grounded. That's one of the markers. And it's experiential, so you just have to throw words at that. But it doesn't make you more anxious or dysregulated if you're skillful. So in other words, if you're doing this work and you're getting dysregulated, you're not doing the work correctly. So you want to stop because you didn't meet the first marker. You want to meet that marker about every time you do it, which is just, I don't feel worse. I feel more open, more expansive, even if it's just a little bit. You have to watch your nervous system, see, because if the work feels unsafe to you, your system will get you to stop. That's enough reason for it to stop. But if you're skillful, you will feel that nervous system regulation, even if slight, and it'll keep you going because your system will learn, well, this isn't so unsafe that I can't keep going. That's the first marker. And the second marker is you want to transmute energy each time you do it. And we'll show you what that means. But we're working with buried emotions, which is like old frozen fear, your actual body, that we're going to transmute to presence. And your hardened physical separate body gets transmuted into presence itself, to lightness of being, if you go deep enough. That's where the joy comes from, the lightness of being. But the density or the sense of separation and the feeling of deficiency and lack gets transmuted here in the body. And we really watch for that marker, which is the transmuting of that energy in the body. Even if it's slight, you want some transmuting every time. If you have those two markers, even slight nervous system regulation, number one, and two, the transmuting of energy, then you're good. And the transmuting of energy is important to make sure that you're not bypassing, because to transmute that repression is to get to the root of suffering, instead of just to do spiritual practice to feel better or be more at peace. You don't just want one of the markers, in other words. You don't just want the nervous system regulation. In other words, you don't just want to feel better or even slightly better. You want to transmute the energy that contains the programming that runs the suffering, bringing that programming into awareness. We'll show you how to do that. Don't worry about that now. So this part is just about resistance and understanding its critical role in the path, and that your best tool for that is the two markers. Discovering the two markers consistently, and if you don't, you want to stop. You don't want to keep doing KI, because if you keep doing it and the two markers keep showing up, you're either bypassing, and I can pretty much prove it to you or show it to you. If you work with me, I'll show it to you. You're either bypassing, because we developed this work after me being a teacher for so many years and essentially teaching bypassing. So you're either bypassing or dysregulating your system in such a way that it's not healthy, and you're just going to make yourself not want to do the work. So those two markers will help you. Now stay tuned for, if you work with all those areas, if you come here, you do those things and you learn the skills and you bring these inquiries to all forms of suffering, which is what we talked about, and then you understand that the resistance is what you're working with, so it will come up in so many different ways, and your job is to work skillfully with all those forms of resistance, because that's your suffering, no matter what comes up. And you're working with it really to get to the root of it here, which transforms it. This is what, where suffering ends. Once it feels safe enough to feel and express some of these buried emotions, the suffering starts going away. Because the buried emotions produce the suffering. For what? Safety. See? So if I sit here and feel and allow anger and it comes through and I fully allow it, well, then any of the stories that are coming directly from that can just go quiet, because I don't need those. And all that means is, now, it's all about being ourselves. So the next segment is really the last one, and that sums up, and I always come back to this topic because it's such an important part of this path, and I hope that you'll stay open as I talk about it, because we're talking about self-realization, but I'm going to throw in the word authenticity, And then I'm going to try to explain to you why that's such an important piece of the path, and that without it, you can't really realize self, embody self-realization. Stay tuned. What I did when I came to non-duality is I entered into an unconscious relationship of sorts, but I didn't know it. And let me explain that. I was driven here by anger and other repression. I know that now. That was producing my suffering, and I didn't know it. It was buried. So when I came here, I was repressed and traumatized, and all that was buried, and suffering was visible everywhere, just like with you. And when I met the non-dual message, I fell in love. You know, a good partner will show you all parts of yourself, right? And you'll make those conscious. Like, but if you come to a partner like non-duality and you just want to stay safe or get away from your suffering, then you're going to suffer more. It's like any relationship. If I'm going to try to get with you to avoid feeling stuff, then we're both going to suffer. So if I come here to awakening with an intention not to feel what I've buried, I'm going to get more suffering, even if I get some freedom along the way, because I'm not willing to go to the places, or I can't go to the places that I need to go to really be free. Let me see if I can explain that to you more, or at least from my perspective here. I always knew there was something off, again, about non-duality, the way that I was teaching it, but even before I was teaching it. But when you first enter a relationship, you don't look at those things. You know, you meet somebody on an ad and you're like, they just look good. And oh, they're pretty sweet, actually. I really like him. So let's just don't look at anything else and let's just go with it. And that's how enlightenment looked. It's like, I've never heard anything better than that, or awakening or self-realization. So it's like any relationship, I went in blindly. Although this was a relationship that could show me myself, and it did. My true self at first, the initial awakening that I had in 2007 was both a head opening and a heart opening, and I thought I was done. The trauma and repression was hiding in other parts of my body, the anger repression. I had about 2 years of like a honeymoon period with lots of love and no suffering. The pain was so buried that it was nothing. And then after the 2 years, those byproducts started to dim. And dim and dim. And then I went into my sort of teacher repression years where there's just peace, but chronic pain increasing. And I'm looking at non-duality differently now and thinking something really does feel off with what I'm doing now as a teacher. But I don't know what that is because I'm still in repression. And it's like any relationship, something is off. I'm still suffering. I have chronic pain. I got cancer from the repression still. So something was off, but it was bigger, or I can't say bigger than that. Yeah, bigger than that. There was something off about the whole subject of freedom and how I was presenting it and how I learned it from some of my teachers, because I was still getting sick. And there's something else was off though, and it was had to do with how everybody, including me, was too focused on the transcendent or the emptiness of everything too soon, and not being fully embodied, and then skipping over. Many, many people did that because we didn't know about repression. So we were innocent, but we did it. Those of us on awakening path, many of us have missed repression. If you don't think you did, it may be just that you don't know it. I'm going to give you a test at the end, so that you can know it if it's there. But what I'm saying is this mad rush for the transcendental, for seeing the emptiness or getting rid of things, or it's like you almost get a reward if you live in pure awareness, even if it's not embodied in a way. It's like we just so many of us want to escape the human experience, even if we don't admit it consciously. We just don't want to feel stuff. We want to get rid of the suffering. And frankly, there's not anything wrong with that. I think there's nothing wrong with wanting to get rid of suffering, because I have three dogs and I watch my dogs, and whenever they're wounded, or they will take care of themselves, they'll lick their wounds until they seemingly feel better. And there's nothing wrong with it, but what I think we're doing here, many of us, because we know that self-realization involves at some stage the suffering goes away. Because we've heard it from certain teachers, and they're right. And it does. But it can't go away if we're trying to get it to go away. And if we're making our goal the transcendent or the without going to the repression that creates suffering, we've got a problem, Houston. It could be a big problem. For me, it was diseases. I think it's a simple misunderstanding that many of us have. Around the root of suffering. And so if we have that misunderstanding and we don't know that we're creating our own suffering from repression, from the unconscious, we haven't realized that yet. We haven't made that conditioning fully conscious. I'm not talking about an insight or an understanding of the mind, but actually seeing the programming and making it conscious that we're creating all of our suffering. That's how it goes away, because we're creating it. If we don't see we're creating it, how's it going to go away? But see, we try to get it to go away without realizing that we're creating it sometimes. And that's when we rush to awareness sometimes, or something else that doesn't really appreciate, you know, kind of what's going on with us and where it's all coming from. We need to suffer at the unconscious level. So the repression produces disease, chronic pain, mental health issue, addiction, and other suffering, shadow, story, to stay safe. That's safer than what we've buried. We're creating it. So if I'm sitting here resting as awareness, not knowing that there's a mechanism in my body creating everything that I'm seeing that's coming and going, everything, how can I expect to just rest here and truly realize self if I don't make conscious the conditioning that's creating all the suffering? As science says, that's emotional repression for a lot of suffering. What was missing was the authenticity in awakening. And that's the individual expression, the authenticity. What you truly are, there's no separate self, but what you truly are, which means the recognition of the awakeness that you are and the embodiment of that. So if you have parts of yourself that are still buried, you can't have embodied self-realization. So that's a good thing to know, right? It's not something that should make you feel bad, but if it does, you process it. It's there to show you the potential that if you still have repression, you've got some deep freedom coming if you're open. But if you're not, you've got some suffering coming. Even if you recognize the awareness here to which that suffering comes and goes, you still have it until you get to the root of it in the body. And I know you're interested in ending suffering, but you don't want to try to get it to go away. So how it goes away here is by making the unconscious conscious, which is not just any random unconscious belief system or story. It's quite specifically the repression conditioning. As you make that conscious, those buried emotions that have now become our physical bodies, seemingly separate bodies, with a sense of deficiency, that opens, that energy transmutes. And we see that that sense of physical separation and deficiency came from repression. We're deficient in certain emotions, so we feel that deficiency or lack. We just don't know where it comes from until we do. And the physicality of our bodies, the sense of separation, is from years of holding back emotion, being afraid of anger or hurt. But we don't know that because it's buried. All we feel is the sense of separation and deficiency if we're unconscious to this. So quite specifically, I'm talking about the conditioning that creates that sense of separation and deficiency, because we all know that that's a body thing. It's not just a story in the mind that we're separate, right? It's actually a mechanism that's buried that creates that whole thing for us. And we make that conscious. We're changing. That self-contraction is opening, dissolving. The actual experience of our body as presence happens. But we're not hiding from anything. And that's the difference. And so it's authentic. So we're not trying to be good people or just nice or sweet. We're being what we are, whatever that happens to be. We don't turn into mean people, though, because we find our own buried rage, and we know why we were suffering. And we know that our triggers and our shadows came because we were not ready to feel our anger. And once we feel and release and transmute that buried anger, we're not out to hurt people, but we have anger if we need it to protect ourselves or aggression. We just have our natural resources online. And self-realization and authenticity to me just means that. It's really practical. It's healthy. I can feel and express what's true for me. I don't have to get caught up in whether there is a me. I can see directly there isn't. There's presence here. There never was a self. There was only ever this programming that was buried in the body and in the unconscious, producing suffering, giving the appearance of separation and deficiency. The embodiment has to happen for there to be self-realization. Authenticity has to be there. But that's not a perfect person. That's not anything like we can conceive of what it is. It's what we are, living and embodying that. There happens to be a natural goodness there, but it's not the compulsion to be good coming from anger repression or other repression. It's not the need to be perfect or to be right or any of that. It's just being ourselves. And that's natural. And you see that as you embody the presence and you get to the repression. And we actually call it natural recovery from suffering because it's natural. We're getting to the root of suffering. We're not trying to get rid of suffering. The suffering goes away because we're making the root conscious. And that simplifies it. The path actually becomes really simple. I hope you've seen it as I've mapped it out here, but as you go deep into the practice, it becomes relentlessly simple that to stay with the recognition of the presence here in your life and go to the root of suffering in all forms of suffering. So I stopped just being with chronic pain because I discovered that the reason that chronic pain is there is because I was really resistant of anger and afraid of it. And so to say to myself or anyone, just rest and let this chronic pain be or this contraction was like saying to people and to myself, stay in repression. Stay as a fearful, separate self on some level. Even if it get, because we get approval, love. I was being rewarded for holding anger back. I wasn't going to give that one up easy, the buried anger. But I'm so glad that I went there and the other buried emotions, femininity. Because authenticity really matters. It matters so much. It matters as much as the presence. Because who wants presence if you can't be real, if it can't be natural for you to be and to live and relate to people and to not just have presence when we're at a retreat or a workshop where we're quiet, but to have that embodied presence in our relationship. And to change how we respond and react. So this is a process, but I want to go a little bit deep here before we end. Because I want to bring this topic of self-realization, of course, into the body where the authenticity shows up. But we have to really talk about stuff that we don't want to talk about necessarily. We might want to. Fight, flight, freeze. Throwing you for a loop there maybe. But fight, flight, freeze, and even fawn. Fight just means that it's an automatic reaction. So our repression and trauma just makes us react to people or hold back. And as Bessel van der Kolk says, trauma doesn't arise as a memory, it arises as this reaction. And all of the conditioning that creates the suffering there is unconscious, or most of it that creates it, and that's the repression at the trauma level, which is just holding anger back, for example, or holding sadness or hurt back. But when you fight, when that's your common response, like in life with people or groups or anybody, fight a lot, get angry. Think about where that comes from. Or when you discover what you repress by taking this test that I'm going to give you, you might discover that if you do fight a lot, that's your response, that that's tied to the repression of sadness or hurt. Because it's safer to fight than it is, of course, to stay and be vulnerable. And you might not have known that, right, until you heard me and then you go take this test. Because then when you watch yourself fight people in life and you see that anger come up, you're going to know this isn't about anger. And we're going to give you tools to get to what it's about. It's the buried vulnerable emotions and the fear of that that creates that anger response or that fight response. And you're going to experience transformation by going to the root of that fight response, which is going to be, in large part, emotional repression. And then you might find that you freeze. So I met a lot of people. I remember a lot of women, actually. So my heart goes out to women. For whatever reason, like when men, for example, are angry, some women have to freeze if they can't get angry, if they're anger repressors. But they don't know that the freeze comes directly from anger repression. Could also come from hurt repression with it, or sadness repression. Of course, fear, but it's the anger repression that eludes people who freeze a lot, or shut down, or disconnect in relationship. And it could be a real freeze, like in a conflict, or it could just be a, like, the way your partner is talking makes you go quiet. And that's of a kind of a freeze, and there's conditioning right under it that's holding the anger back. And it's not that you have to go get or can get angry at your partner, but as you thaw out that fear that is your physical body, that, and you be able to feel and express that emotion, you're going to have a lot more options other than just freeze. And that's your authenticity. Because, of course, it's hard to be authentic when you have to survive those moments. Freeze. But be compassionate, because that's how you're staying safe. And that's what you have to do with the conditioning that you have right now. But as you do this work, that changes. You have to trust that. For now, until you start doing the work, if you aren't. And then I want to move to fleeing, which was a common one for me. I would freeze as an anger repressor, or just go quiet. That meshes nicely with presence, by the way. Just hide in that. But I would also flee. Like when my partner, Chester, would get angry, while I had anger repression, I would walk out the door, go to the other room, before I would ever feel and express anger. So my fleeing was coming from anger repression. And then I realized, oh, that's why I always felt like I was empathic, because I was sensitive towards people's energy. I wanted to get away from groups earlier in my life and certain people's energy, like loud people, obnoxious people. I didn't understand that all of that fleeing was coming from my anger repression, self-repression. Because to be around people, if you can't be yourself, can create anxiety. Being self-conscious, you don't know who you are. And so if you don't know who and what you are and you can't be that, why wouldn't you want to pull away from people if that's your trauma response? It's not just about pulling away in a fight. These are conditioned patterns. We're forced into these responses. And we keep being forced into them to some degree until we get to, for example, the anger repression that makes us flee. The anger or other repression that makes us freeze. It's not just that hurt repressors fight all the time, or sadness repressors, they might disconnect or numb out or go use something or, just freeze. Everybody's different. But once you learn how your system works you start today. Watch how you interact with people. Notice how your body is governing all that. We're going to show you how to trust your body a lot more. We're going to give you skills after you take this test. It's going to go straight to the repression that creates the suffering. And there's a ton of suffering that comes with or after these fight, flight, freeze responses. I mean, think about it. If I'm an anger repressor and you're coming at me and you're angry, that's the emotion that I'm most afraid of. I'm going to shut down. But if I shut down, I might be running stories here. A lot of them. Because it's safer to run the stories than it is to feel and express the anger. So there's a lot of suffering that comes from this. It's not just freeze or if I flee, if I don't open to the anger that made me flee, other narratives and stories and suffering and hurt that is all safer than the buried anger might arise. It's not just fleeing. Or if somebody has a fight response because of buried sadness or hurt, where anger is safer, they may also have a lot of stories that come later that make them feel bad for always being angry, or make them feel unlovable or feel wrong or something, and that's why they're angry. Like, all of this can be discovered. It's not just rest and allow everything. When we say rest and allow everything, we remain ignorant and unconscious to a lot of this. And your best evidence is that you're still suffering in some way. And that's why I think that you can trust this as a path. But I want to say a few things about that. Why would you trust it? First of all, you have to trust yourself. That's what this work is about. Self-realization is all about trusting yourself and coming into your own experience and into the buried emotions that produce your suffering. Nobody can do that for you. We can only give you the skills and mentor you through it. But this is so beautiful. It's your work to do. It's your life. It's your experience. You're the authority. This is what you get, is your freedom in that sense. To be able to move in relationship and be yourself and say no if you're an anger repressor. You don't have to go along with everything anymore. You create the life that you want, because you don't have to put up with people that you don't even want to be with. You're just holding yourself back, trying to get love. People who repress hurt and sadness hold themselves back to get love. Their vulnerability. We all do it to a certain degree. We hold something back and we suffer. And although that's scary right now to some of you, you have to remember that your present conditioning is supposed to scare you so that you will stay safe from feeling and expressing what you've buried. When you're suffering, your conditioning is successful. It's keeping you safe and getting you love. It's suffering still. But if you can have a different disposition towards it, maybe, even though I call it bypassing, I just say that to get us to point to the unconscious, because bypassing sounds like a bad word. Instead of criticizing paths that are bypassing out there, what I'm doing going forward, I'll still criticize. But what I'm focused on is creating something here for people that's a path in and of itself, that brings authenticity and repression inquiry from the beginning, along with the awareness, pointing and resting and being. And that's why I think you can trust it, because you're going to be trusting your own body. And that's what embodiment is. Living and embodying what you are is that. So you can trust it for that reason, but you have to get started to be able to trust that, because until you get started, you'll just listen to me. And it's not the same as seeing it yourself. So it's okay to listen to me, but don't let that be a substitute for picking up the work, because it's just not the same. It won't be for everybody, but I don't want to get into who it's not for. I'm only talking to who it's for and who resonates. It's a challenging path, because you're going to have to feel and at some point express things that are uncomfortable, but I have to tell you that your present conditioning is what scares you. Your consciousness will be different later. This is an embodiment process, so you will show up differently with fear around that, much less or not there. So even though you can't imagine the freedom, it's still possible. Because the trauma in your body, as Thomas Hubel says, is your unrealized potential. You just may not know it yet, but your own authentic self is just waiting for you to uncover in your body. It's right here. It's part of presence. And if it's scary, let it be scary. Keep it real. Because it's scary for all of us. But that's why the freedom goes so deep, is because we get to the fear that keeps us from being ourselves and being free. I don't know if you can tell, but I have a lot of energy around showing people this path. And for many years as a teacher, I didn't have any energy around teaching because I was doing it in the conformist way. Just point to presence. And I was like watering down the self-realization to this presence. And I saw a lot of people, again, dissociating, like using the presence pointers in me too, to really not investigate deeply into the body where the root of suffering is. And as I conformed and conformed, it just didn't feel real. It's like the relationship, I started to see it for what it was. And I could see that this relationship with these non-dual teachings, even mine, I had to break up. It's over. And I broke up with them pretty much the day that I wanted to kill myself. I broke up with my own teaching and all those teachings that were pointing me away from the root of suffering, even if they were pointing me to presence. They had it right on the presence. They had it wrong on the root of suffering. So I broke up because they couldn't show me all parts of myself. That's what I came for. That's why I go to every relationship, is to know myself. That's why I went to Chester. But when I discovered I couldn't know myself with my own teaching, I had to discover, or me and Dan had to develop this work to get to the root. And y'all, I can't even begin to tell you how joyful I am because of it. I can't even begin to tell you what my life is like. And just to sit here with you energetically, realization is energetic. I don't care what they tell you. Yes, it's presence. But if you've got buried emotion or contraction, that totally matters. Because once you transmute that energetically, it is different. It's like Eckhart says, it's not just acceptance with presence. There's inspiration, enthusiasm, flow, joy. I'm having fun. The reason you see me all the time, even if there aren't that many views, is because I'm having the time of my life being myself. Finally, after 50 years, many of those as a teacher. That's what self-realization is. It's not that we're all just impersonal presence. Yes, yes, of course, but, well, that's safe. See? Because in that, I don't have to concern myself with anything that I've buried. That's the ego stuff. Those who process that, ego. No, 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 no. Listen, before I go, I want you to hear this, because you'll probably, many of you go to the tools here after this. Some of you won't. But understand this for those of you who have any issue with processing. I've been developing inquiry for so many years, if you know it. And I've struggled with that question of, does a process prolong suffering, or does it bring about the end of suffering? And frankly, until we develop this work, I can't say that the inquiries that I put out before would end suffering, but these can. I can't guarantee it for you. You have to put some skin in the game. You have to come and learn them and be earnest with it. But if you have any fear or resistance around processing, think of it this way. A good inquiry will simply make the unconscious conscious here within presence. There's no time. There's nobody getting anywhere. Those are just thoughts appearing here in presence. So when we inquire to strengthen ego and get somewhere, yeah, that's going to prolong suffering. But if we use inquiry in a way, like even with seeking, if seeking comes up and we use that, which we do here, to actually make the unconscious repression that creates it conscious, all we're doing is embodying the presence that's already here. We're not going anywhere. And I know that might be hard to see, maybe, if you still have a story. You can do some work on that by getting to the repression that makes that story stay around, because that's safer than presence. But as you start to recognize presence, I want you to remember how important embodiment is. I want you to always be aware in your body, because I think you'll find I think you'll find, like I found, a universe of treasure and freedom and I had no idea that the very thing that I was scared of the most gave me the deepest freedom. And I'll leave you with this before I tell you about the test. I also want to say for those, so use the method. It's not about getting somewhere. It's just, we're making the unconscious conscious. That's the embodiment of presence. And I think that's what makes it self-realization. If we really, really recognize that the presence is the ground of it all, and we go all the way with it. Oh, by the way, you can come here and just work on a specific issue, though. Like some people come just for chronic pain. I think you're going to see it's greater than that. You're going to start with that pain, and then all this stuff in your relationship is going to change. And suffering is going to start going away in different ways. Which is what you want. Just don't sell yourself short with just one specific issue that you come for, though. Yeah, here's what I want to leave you with. For those who might discover through this test I'm going to give you that they repress hurt or sadness or anger, it's very natural for our conditioning to be afraid that we're just going to be angry all the time. Like an anger repressor will think, if that's what's driving my suffering, then I'm just going to be angry. I don't want that. Let's don't do it. Or a sadness repressor, I'm going to cry all the time. It's not going to happen that way. If you take it all the way, what you're going to discover is that the buried emotion is your strongest or main identification. You just buried it. And because you're on a self-realization path, you're interested in identification because that's the suffering. Your strongest identification is you've buried it. If you're a sadness repressor, your strongest mind-body connection is, I am sad, but I'm afraid of that. It's buried, though. If you're an anger repressor, your strongest identification, even if you don't know it yet, is I'm angry, but I'm afraid of that. So when you make this conscious, you're just going to discover that you were already identified with that. And it was hidden. And it was producing all the visible suffering. That's one of the insights that you see here. But as you make it conscious, that's why and how the realization happens, the deeper embodiment, because now you can see that you're angry. And you guys heard me. I came onto YouTube and said, you know, I started out this path not thinking I was angry. Then I realized, oh yeah, I have buried anger. And then I saw, oh, I'm creating that. I have to be angry. I've had to be angry all my life and afraid of it. That was me making conscious conditioning that had been there all my life, my strongest identification. But see, by making it conscious, all the other suffering had gone away. People don't realize that the very thing that creates suffering, when you make that conscious and you're working at that level, the suffering that it creates, the stories, the chronic pain, the depression, that went away or goes away for people. And now at this stage of the path, what we have as anger repressors is, I'm angry, and I know it now. I was still resisting it because I'm afraid of it. Or I'm hurt repressor, but I'm afraid of it still. But now that we're making it conscious, we're actually going to transmute the final layers of that fear. The fear of being yourself and of getting hurt again. It doesn't mean you won't ever have a fear of getting hurt again, but you're going to transmute the frozen layers of fear around this, is what I mean, in your body. The physical sense of separation and deficiency. And so as that happened for me, I went through a period where I was actually happy to be able to get angry. And people were emailing me saying, Scott, I found my rage and I'm exhilarated. Thank you so much. And until you do this work, you have no idea what it's like to get your energy online and to be able to move differently in the world. But what happens is we move out of that once we make that conscious. And frankly, what shows up, if we go deep enough, no, we don't just end in I'm an angry person or I'm sad. That's just a landing to stay safe. No, it's self-realization, which really means something very simple, which I've already described in the podcast. We recognize the presence, and we can fully allow everything now, even what was previously buried, and that's what makes it authentic, and that's what ends the suffering. So if you haven't got gotten started on the path, you can always go to killaby.com and scroll to the bottom of the page and you'll see our free repression test. I'm also going to put it in the description of each episode for a while, and it's always going to be in the about description, which describes this podcast on every platform. You're going to see the link to the free test. Thank you.